Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
2019, I believe, first year in Arizona. I thought he was tremendous. You know, he walks down, and it's not easy to do in this league, play that much man coverage down in somebody's face, but physical, will tackle in the run game, tremendous man coverage guy. I was really, really excited to see that that occurred.
How much does that, when you're as an offensive coordinator, how much does it influence what you do or call in a game?
Yeah, it's huge. Most of the time you like to see them as X's and O's, but there's those certain players that you have to know who they are and scheme around them, and he's one of those guys because he's that good of a player and that difficult to kind of deal with when he's able to take away one of your top options.
Just curious what you thought of Brandon Coleman's performance in his first full game, and was there anything that like you felt like because of what he can do maybe changed a little bit of like how you call this play versus that play because of his skill set?
Yeah, you know, we're going to try to maximize what he does best throughout. Very athletic in the run game and the screen game, and that is apparent when you watch the film. But I thought he battled well. He continues to get better, had the setback in training camp, but since then has just really worked hard in the meetings, on the practice field to get better. That's what you like to see is just steady improvement, and you saw that against some really good rushers. He had a couple that he'd like to have back, but that was a great group that he was facing, and I thought he battled and competed at a high level.
And with Noah Brown, like when you look at regular stats, receptions, and yards, it doesn't factor in things like pass interference penalties. He's getting a lot of those. Mm-hmm. He's actually tied for the most in the league. Is that a skill, an art? He's just a big guy, draws that contact. How does that work, and what do you kind of see with him in that regard?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think some guys have and some guys don't. He's a very savvy football player. That's one thing when we got him immediately, just his understanding of the nuances of what we were trying to do and being able to put his own little spin on routes and concepts and understanding it was through the roof. And that's just another level of that. You know, the ball's in the air. He's going back to make plays on the ball and has drawn some huge PIs for us.
I realize you guys try to keep things pretty focused during the week, but since you've been here, have you kind of noticed the increase in fan interest or, you know, just the energy around this team, the attention around this team? And as part of that, how do you think Jaden has handled it as a rookie?
I mean, y'all have heard all the answers and seen all the press conferences as good as you could possibly imagine, I'd say, for Jaden. I mean, that's how he is nonstop. He defers credit to everybody else and is just all about trying to get better the next week. And so that's been awesome to see, but not surprising, just kind of how he's handled his success thus far. And since I got here, just the amount of passion the fan base has had has been incredible. I had not been around that where it's just live or die and really longing to be relevant again, and you can feel that it's tangible. And so that's been cool to see that from the first one I got here and then to actually have some success early and see people get excited. That definitely motivates all of us.
And then with Jaden, I mean, his scrambling ability, well documented, but especially when there's a free rusher, his elusiveness, what makes him so good at that? How is he able to just like slip through guys like that?
Yeah, I think just a feel. He's played that way his entire life. He's very, very fast, obviously, so he knows what he can get away with and what he can. And then he also knows protections, and he knows when he should be picked up and when he's hot, and so he can kind of set guys up knowing, okay, that's the free rusher. I can set him up and get out this way or that way. And so it's a combination of his knowledge of the system and then just sheer athletic ability.
What sort of challenge does Pittsburgh's defense pose?
They're really good. Terrell Austin's done a tremendous job. Obviously, Mike T, the culture he has there, they're very physical, great personnel, play downhill, take the ball away. So it'll be a huge test. I think making sure we avoid negative plays and turnovers is going to be the key to keeping it you know, a ball game and being able to stay in it.
What's the key for Jaden to remain disciplined and kind of just like this the whole time that, that you talked about?
Yeah, just the work he puts in. I think you earn that right with how you work and keeping your process the same and not being bored of doing it over and over and over. And that's something that, from what I've seen, he's willing to pay the price every morning early through the evening of same routine, getting better, asking the right questions, putting the work in on the practice field. And when you have those things, the confidence is there. And so you don't need to change anything.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. Preston Smith obviously adds another potential playmaker to the Steelers defense. Wasn't really a big fit in Green Bay this year. So do you go back to previous year's tapes, not really look at the 2020-24 tape, and look to previous tape to kind of see what he might be able to bring this weekend?
Yeah, I've played against him before. Very good, powerful, talented rusher. So it's not like they needed any help at that position, but they got it. So that'll just add to a very tough defense. And that, to me, is like the way those guys, the relentless pass rush, the way they get after the passer and just they fall into sacks. You know, they'll beat you clean and then they'll fall into stuff because of the effort and because the quarterbacks that are able to move, they'll keep chasing them in the pursuit. Is really impressive to watch. It's a credit to those coaches and the players and the culture they've created.
You kind of touched on the turnovers already. Every team drills it. Every team preaches ball protection, ball security. But you guys are doing it through nine games at a rate that is not seen very often. So what's different, you know, outside of the drilling and outside of the messaging?
I would just say the individual pride and the collective kind of brotherhood of guys taking it to heart that, hey, when you're carrying the football, you're carrying the entire organization. And those guys, they own it in practice. They own it in the games. And then you have to have some fortunate bounces as well. I mean, everybody knows that.
Hey there, Coach. So far this season, we've seen some differences, if you will, in the running back room, right? When Austin had to go out for Arizona, you know, of course, B-Rob has been inactive due to his injury. What can you say about that group just staying consistent despite the different changes?
Yeah, it's a credit to all of them, and they compete well. They communicate well. Coach Lynn does a tremendous job leading that room, but I think that's the coolest part is just they all support each other. Like, when C-Rod got in and had some good runs, you know, nobody was more happy for him than B-Rob, and that's awesome to see. That's not like that everywhere I've been, but I think that's the message of the competition in that room. They know whoever goes in can do it at a high level, and they continue to support each other.
What are some of the strengths that you've seen so far this season in the Steelers defense?
Yeah, taking the ball away and creating negative plays. You know, they're coverage wise very sticky in man coverage when they decide to do that, and then the pass rush, it doesn't leave you much room for error. So you have to be very precise. You have to stay on schedule, and there's going to be some plays that we got to find ways to get the ball out of our hands and not, you know, take negative plays on first and second down.
Seems like every week teams have an elite edge pass rusher, but not necessarily to the extent that TJ Watt is. What kind of challenge does that provide, and do you find yourself, as you're watching tape, you know, kind of cognitively thinking about having to add help or double or chip or all the different things you guys do?
Yeah, when I'm watching tape, when I'm sleeping, all of the above. He's a game wrecker. He's like on that level of certain guys around the league, the Aaron Donalds, you know, I know he's retired, but where it's like, okay, going into that week, we've got to know where he's at on every play. And if we leave one play where he's not accounted for and given extra attention, then that's the play that can change the game. He's that dominant of a player, and he plays with that type of effort. So, yeah, definitely one that keeps you up at night.
Hey, man. Coach, just one more on TJ Watt. You guys obviously played some other really good pass rushers, Miles Garrett, Byron Burks, et cetera. Sometimes you still need that against TJ Watt, given like his status right now.
I'm pretty fearful of all those guys, so they all keep me up at night. So I think we've tried to protect as best we can against some of those guys, but there's a reason they're going to be Hall of Fame players. I mean, they've played a long time. They know how to kind of navigate the chips and the edges and still find a way to get it done.
Just to jump ahead a little bit, because I don't think we're going to get you next week.
For everybody, I mean, any those sorts of games, as far as NFL coaches go, I say you kind of just throw your hands up and say, we hope we play really well. Yeah, you walk through, you try to have as much carryover and as many things maybe that you've repped and didn't get to, you know, in the game. So you have that back up there. But, yeah, it's never easy. So I don't think being a rookie is that much different. Honestly, it's a new experience every time you get one of those.
Do you do anything about the playbook? Do you do anything differently with what you install in the game for that?
You just, I mean, me personally, we'll install less, but there's stuff we've had throughout the season that maybe I can go back and find that fits. We repped it, so at least there's a commonality with our players have terminology and execution they've walked through, they practice it, and we show the clips from previous practices, and to me that has always been something that makes me feel better, is at least they've got some live full speed reps before you go out there and try to do it. I do, yeah, excessively. Yeah, I do. All right, thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. Just something cool about Cliff, Logan. You know, he's very measured, very methodical, and calling a hell of an offense so far.
Calling a hell of an offense, and it's well-designed, too. I think that's the thing that sticks out is, you know, everyone gets caught up in the X's and O's and this concept versus that concept, this run versus that run. But what I think he's done a really good job of is getting the guys to buy in completely, and so he can kind of call whatever he wants to call because the guys can own it. They understand the adjustments versus different coverages. They understand the adjustments versus different fronts when it comes to running the football, and I think that's something that is so undervalued when cultivating an offensive identity, is making sure the guys can play as fast as humanly possible, and I think he's done an outstanding job of that.
You know what I find interesting, and I think you might be able to answer this, is I was kind of familiar with the verbiage in the Gruden offense,
yeah,
and it was wordy, man.
It
was significant. And then, like, it became a big story, especially for, like, NBC4, because it kind of crosses a lot of boundaries, where the touchdown Ben Sennett scored on was on a play called Taylor Swift.
Mm.
So, like, when they're actually in the huddle, when Cliff is sending that in to Jaden, are they still giving all the verbiage on formation and all the keys and such? Or is it literally as simple as Taylor Swift on two?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing about the air raid offense, and that's Cliff's background. There are some elements of that here. So in a West Coast offense, you have to identify, you know, formation, like how you're going to line up, protection, and then concept, right? And so I could see – the thing is now when you watch the offense, there's so much formation variability. There's so many different motions and shifts in the offense,
right,
which is all good stuff, that it's hard for me to imagine them not having those first two words. Like, so for example, like when I played in offenses, Kyle had sections of offense like this where it's like, hey, I say banana, I know the formation, I know the route concept, and I know the protection.
Right.
Boom, we're going to go run it. It's hard to run a whole offense like that. So to me, I would assume there's probably a personnel.
5 or 10.
Yeah, there's probably a personnel that he says. So it might be like, hey, red 24, Taylor Swift. You know, and I think that might be the play.
That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah,
too.
There's probably some other modifiers on there, but the base call is probably Taylor Swift.
And because they ran off a bunch of like names, had like other, like there's a Travis Kelce play. And
yeah,
stuff. I imagine there's like 10 of those, 5, 10 of those, yeah, and then everything else just kind of goes through standard verbiage to lay it all out. Or do you think every play? Because at some point it gets hard to remember all the random stuff too.
Yeah, so I think what I would say, because I've been in offense, so when I was with the Chicago Bears in 2016, I forget what the offensive coordinator's name was, but he had just come from working with Peyton Manning, and basically every
Gase,
every play in the offense had a code word. So hey, let's say it's and code word and formation, so you could do it all no huddle, which was insane. It was so hard to memorize and understand the offense. However, I do think that like when you so at some point, just straight memorization becomes too hard. But I do think if I said, hey, man, you know, red is right, blue is left, that's the formation. And if we're in 21 personnel, the fullback's going to line up here, and you have, like, modifiers. So instead of having one huge, extremely long column, you can be like, hey, red Taylor Swift, you know? And, like, that's a way to kind of minimize the diversity in terms of memorization. And, again, you don't want to go the other way where it's like, hey, Twins right, split, you know, 48, Z zoom, Y, you know, whatever. Like, you don't want to do that either where it's so verbose.
Right.
But I think being able to walk – I think that's one of the reasons why the guy seems to have learned it really quickly is because I would imagine – and I haven't seen his play sheet yet. Maybe in the offseason.
Go walk over there and see that.
Yeah, hopefully I can ask
you him. You get to go to the cafeteria, just pop into the coach's room.
Yeah, just be like, hey, man – You know who I am? No, that'd be disrespectful probably. But yeah, so, but I do think the reason they picked it up so quick, the reason they own it the way they do is I would imagine the verbiage is very limited. And usually with limited verbiage offense, you lose some of the diversity in terms of formation, in terms of motion, but it lets the guys lock in on what you're supposed to do.
Sure.
So I think, again, Kliff deserves a ton of credit. I think the whole offensive staff deserves a ton of credit because they've managed to do that while giving the illusion of complexity, which is pretty sweet.
And how much surprise, if any, right? They have the third-ranked offense in points scored, third-ranked in yards gained, fourth in rushing attempts, third in rush yards, third in rushing touchdowns. Knowing that it's Kliff Kingsbury, and I thought he did a really good job kind of as the offseason progressed, trying to get people to understand, you know, this isn't Texas Tech in the right. mid-2000s. Like, the air raid that you're expecting is not what's coming. But this is a very much run-dominated offense.
I mean, that's what he was in 2021 in Arizona, too.
When they went 11-5.
Yes.
They were good. It was James Conner and
I forget the other guy's name, but James Conner.
Chase something. They accounted for 2,000 yards of scrimmage.
Yeah. And so I look at
Chase Edmonds, maybe?
Yeah, Edmonds. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so I think that's exactly right, and I think one of the things that sticks out to me is, you know, the formation diversity, the different types of runs they're able to get.
Remember
to.
When, like, oh, he doesn't use motion, people were saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's not happening.
Well, I think the thing that sticks out to me probably most definitively is when I've had conversations with him, he understands what good offense is in the NFL. Like, he gets it. Like, he's had conversations with Kyle and Sean and, you know, Andy Reid. Like, he studies those guys. And, like, when you look at what they're doing, you're not going to be so, you know, boneheaded or pigheaded that you're going to just run what you want to run. You're going to adapt and evolve and do new stuff. And so when I see them in 12 personnel, they don't do that in the air raid. When I see them in 21 personnel, they don't really do that in the air raid. When I see them run play action pass, they don't really do that in the air raid. So all of these things are variations and deviations from the air raid system. There are probably principles and crossover in terms of language. And, like, I think the general principle of the pass game is also probably an underlying there. And so what I mean by that is in the air raid, you run 10 pass concepts about. You know the adjustments for those 10 pass concepts versus every coverage the defense is going to present. And so when you watch this team, you understand, or at least it's apparent to me, that the guys running it understand that there might not be a ton of play volume in, but they understand the variation on all the different routes that they're running. So that's something that I think is pretty neat. I think it's well coached. I think it's well thought out. I think it's evolved and changed, and it looks like an NFL offense. And I do think it's important to also note that while Kliff and the whole staff's doing a great job, Jane Daniels has also done a great job of elevating this offense.
Sure. I mean, Kime and I were joking about that. You could say they've really built a team. They've really built a culture. You're getting all these contributions from a whole bunch of people on the offense, whole bunch of people on the defense. But, oh, by the way, you have a star quarterback, and everything looks different when that's the case. Nobody go anywhere. Me and Logan getting deep into the Steelers-Commanders matchup. Now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Next. Beavich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Been a packed show, man. Things have been moving. You heard from Commanders coordinators, both Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury. I hope you enjoyed those. I feel like we learned a bit. You know, I liked a lot when Joe Witt kind of made clear. He's like, listen, we're excited about Lattimore, but let's not neglect what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And it's you maybe mentioned this yesterday, that St. Juice has become this, like, real lightning rod of fans on social media. And I get it. Like, he gets called for PIs and stuff. But I do think people are not correct in how much does the Lattimore move helps because you add Lattimore, but also free up other guys to maybe be in roles more advantageous to them.
Yeah, I know Joe Witt was kind of pushing back on that a little bit, but I do think that's where the real value is. I think, you know, when you look at this season, St. Juice is playing better, like significantly better than he was last year. On a down-to-down basis, it's better. And I think he's probably an average cornerback in the NFL. He's not the best. He's not the worst. He's kind of right smack dab there in the middle. But NFL teams are dealing with that all the time. And I think when you add a Marshawn Lattimore, you then all of a sudden make that group above average, because you take a guy in Sanderstil who's playing outside, maybe playing a little out of position, you put him in his home spot, in the nickel spot, and Benjamin St. Juice becomes the number two, or kind of has more favorable matchups as opposed to him tracking other teams' number ones, which they've done with him a little bit this year. He gets to just be kind of matched up on a number two receiver, which is a much more realistic matchup for him. So, I think this is – we'll see what happens. We'll see if he ends – like, when Marshawn does end up playing, like, how this all shakes out, because, you know, Joe Witt Jr. said they're still kind of thinking through the process a little bit. And, again, I think he did the right thing in saying don't disparage the guys that have been here. But I do think that this is going to be – good for everybody. It's going to allow them to cover a little bit better in the back end, play a little bit more man coverage. He said that in the presser. He's like, we want to be this team that gets up and is aggressive.
When he talked about how he coached them in Green Bay, he's like, man, we just played press on everybody.
Yeah, right.
Like, you need the personnel to do that.
Mm-hmm. And early in the season, that's what they want to do. Remember the Tampa Bay game? Like, they wanted to be in more man coverage, but they just didn't have it communicated and they weren't executing at a super high level. So,
yeah, totally. I want to get into this Steelers Commanders matchup, because we've been flirting with it all day. Time to sit down and have dinner. Where does Washington have an advantage?
That's a really good question. I'd say on the offensive side of the football. And I think, you know, obviously Pittsburgh's defense is tremendous. Like, they're a lot of fun to watch. They're fast. They're physical. They're well coached. They understand their identity. But I do think that Cliff and his ability to create space, I think Cliff and his ability to have a solid protection plan each week is going to maximize this group. And if the offense can get rolling a little bit, if they can put up 24, 27, 30 points even, there's an opportunity that it totally befuddles and gets Pittsburgh out of the offense that they want to be in. And when Russell Wilson has to throw the ball 30, 35 times in a game, that's not where they want to live. So if there is any type of game flow, if there's any path to victory here, it's through the offense. And I think the defense can definitely supplement that, stopping the run, stopping the Pittsburgh's run game. How do you handle Pickens on the perimeter? Those are going to be tough questions to answer. And we talk about matchups and whether Marshawn will play or not. But I look at the offense, I say, man, if they've been the driver of the ship all season, if they can continue to drive the ship and put this group in a good spot to be successful, the team, by, when I say group, I mean the team, that's going to be pretty fantastic.
Dude, like that Giants game last week, outside, I mean, it was a hell of a play by Fowler and a bad play by Daniel Jones, but the Giants at least almost played them toe-to-toe in the first half. And the Skins had a 21-7 lead.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? And like, Jaden, they get – I think Cliff and Dan have been really good end-of-half situations all season. They weren't last week.
Yeah.
They had the penalty. They had the Allegretti penalty. Then they had to burn a timeout. Like, it just seemed discombobulated. But that's where having five changes everything.
100%.
Because he makes two incredible throws, and it's a touchdown.
Yeah, and that's also where the week of preparation – not the week, but the entire offseason, training camp, OTAs, minicamp – all the emphasis, I mean, you've been to training camp practices, all the emphasis they put in on end-of-half, end-of-game scenarios, those are the moments they come out. And I love Dan. He just seems like he's so locked in on end-of-game scenarios. Like, he's managing those. And it's apparent when you watch the film, the urgency that he uses to get out there and call that timeout. It's awesome. And I think when you prioritize that stuff, you reap the benefits of it and are able to kind of find these great opportunities to score points, potentially lap the team. But I think that's a great example, the Giants game, of the type of game flow that needs to be engaged in here. Obviously, Pittsburgh's going to try to run the football. The Commanders' defense has had a hard time running the football. they're going to be able to move the football that way. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh offense. However, once you score points as an offense, the Commanders, it's going to put them in a bad spot, in a spot they haven't been in all year, and get them out of what they want to do and help the defense play better football. And so I think that, to me, is something that I think is incredibly important. Is that a lot of pressure on the offense? Yeah. But that's, you know, it's an offensive-driven league. You got to score points. You got to help your defense out. And I can't wait to see if that happens this weekend.
Well, dude, even going back to the Panthers game, which ended up being an ass-kicking,
yeah,
right? But remember that Carolina started a 8-play drive where they picked up multiple first downs.
Yeah.
They, I mean, they may not have gotten to the red zone, but they, I mean, I just pulled it up. They 8-play 61-yard drive for almost 4 minutes before Fowler again makes a hell of a play, pick six. And then after that, it kind of just fell apart. But, like,
but I think that,
I think opening drives really matter in this one.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, think about that. Like, that falls apart because you're up 7-0. They go for it. I think they throw a pick on the next drive.
They got it to 10.
Yeah, yeah. They kick a field goal. They go for it on fourth down the next possession, and then they kick another field goal. They score a touchdown. So it's 17-0, and the Carolina Panthers want to run the football. They want to be in this more traditional game flow, run, run, play action pass, run, run, throw on third down for first down. And all of a sudden, that whole game plan is out the window. And I think a similar process applies here with the Commanders offensively. If you can get the Steelers out of what they want to do,
sure,
protecting the football with the run game, Najee Harris doesn't fumble, letting Russell Wilson kind of be a passenger to the offense, it's going to put you in a much better position to be successful. So I think you brought this up, but I think in both of those games, it's no accident, the Giants and the Carolina Panthers, that the defense makes a huge play early in the game that totally changes the narrative of the football game. Fowler gets a fumble against Daniel Jones. Fowler gets the interception for a touchdown. In the New York Giants game, obviously that ends up being points, that 7 points. So it's 7-0 after a first possession,
totally,
where it looks like the Giants are going to go down and score a touchdown.
I mean, I'm just pulling this up. I always bring this up because there was this period of time, hell, you might have been on some of those teams, where Kirk would finish the game with like 45 pass attempts,
yeah,
and 42, and it was just crazy. Generally, you get north of 40 or even like 37 pass attempts, you're losing.
Yeah, because you got to throw to catch up.
Totally. And I just looked this up. In the two games since Russ has taken over, and they've won them both clearly, and both fairly handily. I mean, they beat the hell out of the Jets, and then the Giants game was a little back and forth. Where do you think the pass attempts are finishing for Russ? Or maybe have you looked it up?
I haven't
already looked
it up. I'm going to say 25.
29 against the Jets, 28 against the Giants.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the game.
That's where they want to be.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to point out here,
and too, between Najee and Warren against the Jets, 33 carries.
Yeah, that's where they want to be. That's exactly where they want to live. And the other thing that's important to point out here is the defense for the Steelers has done a great job this year of turning the football over. I think there's two interceptions against the Jets. They have a sack force fumble against the Giants.
That, like, iced the game.
Yeah, and so those opportunities, if you can possess the football, which is what the Commanders have done extremely well, and not let the defense of the Steelers dictate this outcome, not get Russell Wilson more touches, not let Wilson throw the ball 25 to 30 times a game, get out of that type of game flow. This thing could just flip on its head immediately, which is really, really exciting. So,
yeah. All right. So Washington could have the advantage if they're able to jump up early.
Yes.
Right. You want to flip things upside down for this Pittsburgh team. But Pittsburgh's also 6-2. You know, if you believe in like point differential as something that kind of starts to really paint a picture, theirs is pretty good. They're plus 68. Washington's plus 74. Pittsburgh has been good on the road. They're 3-1 on the road. Like,
they're a good team. They're well coached.
They're a good team. They're well coached. Logan tells us where Pittsburgh has the advantage over Washington when we return. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, left end.
What you laughing at over there?
So I messed up, and now everybody's having fun with it. So Fortier is here. Sam Fortier covers the Commanders for Washington Post. I say it all the time. I've given up.
Well, you're from the area, so it's probably a little bit harder for you to get the.
Well, and there's no nickname for Commanders. Give me a way to shorten that, and I'll call them that. But saying Commanders every time sucks. So figure it out. I don't. we've got real football and games that matter and playoff talk, so I don't care about name talk. Like, I couldn't be further out on name talk, but I still say Skins, and I don't care who knows it. Anyway, here's where I messed up, though.
Tell me about it.
48 covers Washington for the Washington Post, obviously, right?
Okay.
And have you ever been to the Senior Bowl?
I have, yeah.
Did you play in it?
No.
Okay. If you've been to the Senior Bowl, it's in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, I've been twice.
Yeah, it's cool.
With the team, I cover the event. It's quite the thing.
It's a fun, very unique little thing.
It's a very small town.
Yeah, and there's this one real crappy dive bar called Veets.
Oh, yeah.
Veets?
Yeah, yeah.
So 48 is wearing a Veets t-shirt today, which is pretty funny. And very few people on the planet probably understand what that place is and why it's funny, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So when I saw that a couple hours ago, I took a picture of it. And said, strong shirt, Sam. No. Here, so I'll show you. So this was my tweet like 2 hours ago.
All right, okay. Perfect. Okay. Yeah, my shirt.
All right. Then when Joe Witt was talking, I took a video of Joe Witt as he was talking.
Yeah.
But I accidentally attached this picture of 48 again in the Beats t-shirt.
Yeah.
And a couple of people like replied to me and called me out, and I just don't really care. But now 48 just retweeted it, and then Steinberg just retweeted it. So now this dumb
it's got some legs.
Wrong t-shirt thing is a little bit of a thing. So whatever. Again, don't care. Landfill, are you happy that I messed up and tweeted out the wrong picture?
I'm happy and not surprised.
Do you do that a lot?
No.
More than you'd like to.
I don't. Like the wrong picture like that? I don't think that happens that frequently, but I think I am often too distracted because I try to do too many things at once.
Yeah.
And
it was funny when I saw you writing the tweet because you were right here.
Yeah.
I was like, he might mess this up. I actually had that thought. Just because there's a lot going on. You're like, because you had to come back in, you had to sign off, you had to do this thing. So there's like a time thing on it. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if he messes that up a lot.
Now, I bet my a million things going on to messed up tweet ratio is actually pretty good.
Pretty good. But it's just you got so much going on.
Sometimes it happens.
The volume of the messed up tweets comes up just because you've got such statistically.
I think it's one of the few things I do quite well is be very distracted and yet still fire off tweets.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a short list.
In terms of skills.
Yeah, I'm a good parallel parker.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of car do you have? Is it a big car?
A 4Runner.
Okay, good, decent size.
Now, parallel parking is a skill that is on the decline throughout America.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something we need to address through political action. I don't know. But
write your congressman.
Yeah, I mean, write your congressman. Nobody parallel parks anymore because of the cameras, and half the cars do it themselves.
Yeah.
But people are really bad at it. I'm still good at it. You know what I'm very
I still get really anxious about parallel parking to this day.
Because in L.A., everything's valet.
Yeah, it is valet. I didn't have not a lot of cause for it, no doubt.
You know what I am very good at that most of the population is very bad at?
I have no idea.
I am very good at driving on circles. Like, I know when to yield, when to go, what lane to
like,
be in.
Like roundabouts.
Yes, roundabouts, okay, sure. Yeah. Very British of you.
Is that what they're called? You don't call them circles, do you?
I mean, in D.C., there's DuPont Circle, Westmoreland Circle.
But, the construction item, it's not like, let me order a circle. No, it's like, let me order a roundabout.
If I'm
a city planner, I'm not like, let's put a circle in.
I mean, in New York, Columbus Circle. Landfill, what do you got on this?
Yeah,
you're the GPS officer.
Traffic circles.
Yeah, circles,
stop.
Dude.
Stop it. Stop it.
They're roundabouts in England.
No, there's roundabout. That's what you call them.
You call them circles.
Hey,
dude.
Call into the show right now.
Yeah, that's fine. Jeff, do you have an opinion on this?
My name is Jeff.
Definitely circles.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I think that's just a D.C. thing, huh? D.C., Maryland, DMV.
Whole East Coast?
No, because I've been up in Boston. They call them roundabouts.
I don't know that you're right, man.
In New York, they
definitely have circles.
If this is true, and I'm totally wrong on this, I feel like I've been living in a simulation for the last 37 years.
So hold on. I've never heard them called roundabouts in D.C.
Well, that might be. I'm not acknowledging that.
In Maryland, they are definitely called roundabouts.
Get out of here. That's what I'm talking about, Jeff.
Yeah, no,
Jeff,
don't let him bully you. When you take your driver's test and your driver's class in Maryland, they refer to them as roundabouts, bro.
I mean, I feel pretty good about it. I feel vindicated.
Literally, in D.C., it says circle on the signs.
It's DuPont Circle. Like, it's Westmoreland Circle. That's what they're called.
But if you go in a neighborhood, it's a roundabout. Yeah. Like, go in a Maryland neighborhood, you'll see roundabout.
So they do have a bunch of those out in Loudoun.
Yeah.
Like the little planned neighborhoods have those little. Maybe there's a difference between a roundabout and a circle. I don't have an answer. Bob Yaji has weighed in and says, in New England, they're called rotaries.
I have heard that.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good correction because, you do call them a rotary there, too.
Who calls – Google has a symbol. Who calls a roundabout a circle? This is taking us to Scotland. I don't think – apparently in the English West Midlands, people say island.
Really? I mean, hey, this is why people listen to this show, for this type of deep content. And people watching the stream, I love watching the stream because you have to get in close to read it. So
hold on. Dude.
Roads.maryland.gov, it says traveling Maryland's roundabouts usage.
Dude, my guy.
Hold on.
Jeff, dude. just keep bringing the heat.
There's some serious irony to your argument.
Why? Irony? There's nothing ironic about it.
I'm about to give it to you. This is ironic that you are making the case that they're roundabouts, not circles.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like,
you know what one of the biggest circles in Washington is?
I don't know.
Circle. Like, it actually is that.
Okay.
I don't know. Clearly it's a regional thing. I would not have expected that. People on Twitter are telling me it's roundabouts. Roundabouts, according to Lord Tandori on X, says...
That's his hand.
Like, roundabouts are more similar to squares, like McPherson Square, Farragut Square, that kind of thing. I don't know. Here's what I do know. We've
established we don't know. Neither one of us know a lot.
Clearly.
Jeff is we're returning to Jeff as the definitive source on roundabouts. It's probably not a good thing.
Shout out to Comandante Tequila. We've told him this repeatedly. Repeatedly, he doesn't care. So on the YouTube chat, there's like some financial function where you can pay money. And they keep giving $5 to wherever that money goes. That money does not come to me or Logan or Jeff or Landfill. I've repeatedly said.
It goes to 106.7, I think.
Give it to Jeff. Jeff, tell him your Cash App. you can Venmo me at JP Finley. What, you got a Venmo, Logan?
I'm not giving my Venmo out on here.
I think you should. You might get $5 for your next roundabout fine. Here's what we're going to do. It's time for Bleep You Thursday. Are you familiar with Bleep You Thursday?
No, I feel like I should be.
You're about to be.
Okay.
On Thursday, we come together. It doesn't matter race, religion, creed, sexual orientation. There are no boundaries.
You're making me laugh today.
There are no barriers here. The phone lines are open. Jeff, press the button. And everybody can call in and say what they're mad about. It could be something.
Oh God.
It could be something big. Someone has really wronged you. It could be something small and minute. It's your time. We come together in fellowship for Bleep You Thursday.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.